Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit said to the people, to us, through the Apostle Peter, he said this, "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." You know, proclaim the good news, proclaim the truth of God. And it says, "Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions." And just to be clear, I'm still having vision, all right? Just so you know which category I'm in. Amen. But I have vision, which is why we're doing Heart for the House, but I also have a dream. And Heart for the House is about both vision and dreams. You know, when the Bible talks about old men dreaming dreams, it's not that depressing memory of yesterday. You know, it's not like, wow, you should have been around back in the day. That's when it was really good. Or I'll never forget that then. Or you know, we get sentimental about our past. Oh, whatever happened to the good old days, you know, yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. Oh, creo en ayer. Oh, I'm sorry. I just automatically went into Spanish. I believe in this. I'm almost fluent, you know, so it just happens. Don't laugh. My next language is Korean. That's right. I'm going to learn it. Kamsanita. All right, so the dream I have is about future. Because this kind of dream is the best is yet to come. This kind of dream is about God is not finished with you yet. This kind of dream is about, man, I've seen what God has done in the past. Imagine what he could do in the future. This is what the Holy Spirit does when he gives vision to our life and he causes us to dream God-sized dreams for our life. So you don't have to think about your past experiences in family, your past experiences in heartbreak, but you can have a dream for the future, a different kind of family, a different kind of marriage, a different kind of relationship because of what God can do in you. You know, an old man's dreams are fulfilled in the lives of young people, in their family, their sons and daughters. That's why Peter said, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy." Ah, that's the dream. We have a dream here to see your sons and daughters leaders in the house of God, to see leaders in the community, in our world. We want to see your children's children serving God, making a difference, shaping our world. That is a dream. It's about legacy. Vision is what we could do. Vision is God-inspired direction for us. Oh, and dream is imagine what could happen if we trusted God. David, King David, dreamed about building a house. And his son, King Solomon, who began this task at 17 years old. That was David's dream. I'm going to give him all the support I can. I'm going to rally people around. We're going to raise finances and resources. I'm going to empower him. And he's going to build a house for God. And it's going to affect generations. Legacy. That's what Heart for the House is about. It's about dreams and vision. Vision to help us to see what you see, God. Vision is about seeing what he sees. In order to see what God sees, we have to have his heart. We have to have a heart for what God has a heart for. People. The lost. His church. His children. Having a heart for the house. In the book of John, Jesus tells us to open our eyes so that we can see what he sees. In John chapter 4, it says, "Open your eyes and look at the fields." The fields for us is the city. He said, "They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. He's using a metaphor that they would understand. He's using a picture to describe. Don't look and anticipate, oh yeah, there's a harvest coming in a few months. He said, open your eyes and see what I see. I see people who are ready. People who are hungry for God. People who are broken, who are lost, who are desperate. People who are seeking God. Look up. Look around you. The harvest is ripe right now. And I think about this in LA. I think about 5 miles to the north and 5 miles to the west and the east and the south. There's over 1 million people in that area that need Jesus right now today. There's over 1 million people that I believe God is answering someone's prayer in another state, in another nation, trying to send laborers into the field to bring them into a relationship with God. Do you see what God sees in the opportunity that we have here? Heart for the House is about vision and about dreams. Having a vision takes courage. You know, there's that moment where you step up and you make the decision. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to risk it? And am I going to make the move necessary? I saw this movie and the guy was saying, sometimes it takes 20 seconds of incredible courage, and I promise you, you'll never regret it. Oh man, that was so inspiring. It's not in the Bible. It wasn't Jesus. It was Matt Damon. But still, I thought it was pretty good. You know, it's just like 20 seconds of courage. Sometimes we think it's going to take so much more, but it's just that. Can you make that decision? Can you take that leap in that moment? That's what vision compels us to do. We've talked about Heart for the House over the last few weeks, and we said we must have a heart for the house because the local church is a place for worship, where we gather together, worship God, and we get strengthened so that we go out and live a life of worship. We talked about having a heart for the house because the local church is a place for spiritual growth. This is a place where you can flourish. At the Oasis, you could come here and begin a faith, a life in Jesus Christ, and grow to be a place to be a leader in the body of Christ. So you can come here and grow in your faith. That's why we have so many different classes and efforts. We have growth track classes that will begin on Sundays in February at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. We're going to have Alpha Course coming up on Saturday nights. And we have Connect Groups that we're starting next week. And we have Celebrate Recovery. And all these kinds of things are growing people into a place of strength in their life. And then we talked about you have to have a heart for the house because, number three, the local church is a place to serve God and to serve others. That's what our dream team is all about. And so today what I want to talk about is we must have a heart for the house because, number four, the local church is a place for genuine, authentic relationships. That's what my message is today. Was that the world's longest introduction that you've ever heard? Now I'm just getting to my main point here. The local church is a place for genuine relationships. We use the word connect or connection a lot around here. So we have connect cards and connect groups. And we used to have a lot more connects, but we stopped it because it was too confusing. But that's because we believe in connecting with each other and connecting with God so that we're not just going through the motions. We're not just going through religious ritual, but we're actually engaging, connecting with God. And we don't just come and sit and be a part of an audience, but we're building a community where we connect with one another. Because relationships, healthy relationships, is a foundation for a successful life. We often use this term, doing life together. It's like a slogan or an axiom we have here. We're doing life together. And what that means is that we are going in a similar direction in life. We're about pleasing God with our life, and we're finding out His purpose for each of us individually as we live for Him, and we're making similar life decisions. And so we're doing life together. It's great to have other people with similar values and faith sitting at the table of your life so that you can ask for advice and counsel and wisdom and prayer, and you can offer it to others because we're doing life together. We're going through seasons of life together. Sometimes we go through loss together. Someone we love, someone we care about dies, and we're there with others doing life together. Sometimes it's single life. Sometimes it's getting married or having babies, and it's making decisions as a parent, and we go through seasons of life, and it brings strength to us as individuals, and it brings strength to us as a church. The Bible term for that is fellowship. Fellowship talks about a connection and a trust and an intimacy where you do life together. Loneliness is an awful feeling. It's a state of being that makes us vulnerable to dangerous and foolish pursuits. Loneliness. Now, aloneness can be good at different times. Aloneness is not the same as loneliness. Aloneness is not a way to do life, but there are seasons where it's good. You can spend time with God. You can be preparing yourself. You can get rested in a moment of aloneness. But sometimes we avoid aloneness because we're too lonely. So we get into that alone place where you could get strong, but it's too scary. I heard this saying and I liked it. It says, being unwanted, unloved, uncared for, forgotten by everybody, I think that is the much greater hunger, a much greater poverty than the person who has nothing to eat. I believe that loneliness is two things, a lack of people and a lack of purpose. That even when people are not around, if you have purpose, it gives meaning and direction to your life, so you have some place you're going, you have a mission. Many times, loneliness is just that void of genuine connection with people and mission for your life, direction. You can be single, focused, and fulfilled. Or you can be single and desperate. You know, you can find your purpose and be serving God in the house, or you can go, I'm not going to come to this church anymore. I found all the singles and I got to find somebody. I'm going to go to another place looking. That's not on purpose. That's on mission. I'm feeling alone. I got to go somewhere and find somebody. We don't want to live our life out of desperate searching, but genuine relationship and purpose. C.S. Lewis one time said, is any pleasure on earth as great as a circle of good friends around a fire? A great picture of what we should have in our life. You know, some people come to Oasis and they say, you know, a church of 3,000 people is too big. And I agree. I believe that's true. But so is a church of 200 or 100 if there's no smaller groups where you can connect with one another and build relationship. And so that's why at the Oasis, we have worked hard at making a large church smaller so that we have smaller groups. We have ways of connecting and we encourage friendships and relationships so that we're not lost in a crowd. Sometimes that's why we find a crowd, so we can stay lost in it. But we're trying to get you to understand the value of individuals and people. And so what we have in our church, we call them connect groups, of course. And we're committed to this idea of connect groups. And how they work in our church is that we have connect groups that meet for 10 to 12 weeks, three times a year. We have a season that's coming up shortly. We'll be introducing it next week and sign-ups, you know. And then we have a season in the summer and a season in the fall. And so you have a chance to connect with people. They're all over the city. There are different topics, different times of the day or night or whatever. And so, you know, it's just men's groups, women's groups, prayer groups, Bible study groups, life skills, you know, pre-marriage, financial planning, all kinds of stuff that we can grow together. And it's important, I would like to say, that we cross racial lines. Because our church is a multiracial, ethnically diverse church. And so it's important to reach out to people that are different. We have so many people in this church that are Latino, Korean American, African American, white, black, Asian, Middle East, people from all, you know, all kinds, and then just the mixture of all those together. I mean, it's a mess. And we love it. And so we have to have intention about loving each other and reaching out. And so look at what Jesus said in John 13. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Look at that line. He's not even talking about loving the lost. He's not even talking about loving a large people group like the world. He's talking about loving each other. He said, people will know you're genuine followers of Jesus by how you love the people sitting on your row. So it's important that we are part of a house where you can build genuine, authentic friendships and relationships. Is anybody following where I'm headed in this? So now what we want to do is have healthy relationships. So I'm going to talk to you about that. Healthy relationships, one, take effort. You know, there are some things in life that you feel should just be normal and natural. And sometimes it's important things that we think should be normal and natural and easy. But sometimes those things take work. And one of the things is building friendships. We think it should be natural. To some people, it is very natural. But if it isn't natural to us, maybe we feel embarrassed or feel like there's something wrong. And if you're a guy, you don't want to ask anybody for help. So then you just go through life not knowing anybody. And so in our culture, in America, we have lost the art of relationship. Yeah, we have culturally reduced our capacity to connect authentically. Let me just tell you something. Technology is not a replacement for real relationships. I love technology. I like to go on Facebook and Twitter and text and do all this stuff. But if you got 1,000 friends on Facebook and 1,000 people following you on Twitter, that doesn't mean you have 1,000 friends. Or even 10. It's who do you connect with in an authentic, real way. And healthy relationships takes effort and intention. You have to go for it. You know, our generation here has been called by some sociologists as the entitlement generation. So there's an attitude in us sometimes that we feel entitled to. We deserve things and we want stuff to be handed to us. But friendships don't come that way. You have to put effort out and you got to work at it. And so, you know, some of the dynamics that affect or impact our friendships are the environment or family we were raised in. And it could be our personality, extrovert or introvert. Neither one of those are bad or wrong. But if it goes into confidence or insecurity, that can make a difference. Those things impact us, whether we've had positive or negative experiences with people and friendships. Or even if you travel a lot for business, you know, you have a busy life. You travel here and there and God's blessed you and you say, well, I just don't really have time to build friendships like that. No, you got to work at it. You have to make decisions in your life and make sacrifices of one of the key areas. Because Jesus didn't say, they will know you're my disciple by your frequent flyer miles. Or by how many cities you visited. No, but how you love one another. The relationships that you've built. Pastors fall into this problem. Many pastors express loneliness. Because they're in a church and they're the leader and they're unclear if the people they're trying to reach out to are friends or church members, and either one's okay. But if you get them confused, sometimes, you know, it's just difficult. So they start to trust somebody that they're hoping is a friend, and it turns out really just to be somebody who's like, I found out the pastor's normal. You know, he's got weaknesses and strengths. I'm out of here, you know. And so he's trusting a friendship, but it's really just kind of a church member who wants to have a leader up here, but not a connection with them. And so pastors will hold back then and draw back because he doesn't want to be hurt or he doesn't want it to get in the way of his job. I know people, when I say to people, you would tell so-and-so I'd like to meet with them, we always have to say, Philip would like to see you, and you're not in trouble. Because whenever I go, hey, I'd like to talk to you, he's like, oh, what did I do wrong? This is a great foundation for healthy relationships. Anyway, so those kind of things in our life. Well, I don't know what's the issue in your life that would contribute to this, that you would have to make intention. You know, and so we have to make an effort to initiate, and we have to make an effort to sustain friendships. And a major part of building great friendships is self-sacrifice. Not subjecting yourself to abuse and manipulation, but serving one another. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says, be like Jesus in this way. Look what it says. Make my joy complete being like-minded as Jesus. He said, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, Now look at this. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. It's a people skill right in there. Because, you see, serving each other is a key to a healthy relationship. Healthy people don't use others to get their needs met. Healthy people look for ways that they can serve and contribute to a friendship to see their needs met and their goals reached and their dreams fulfilled. So second, healthy relationships, one, take effort. Healthy relationships, number two, grow through disagreements and disappointments. Healthy relationships grow, get better, get stronger through disappointments and disagreements. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I haven't sharpened much iron in my day, but I'm pretty sure there's friction and sparks and heat. And he said, so one person sharpens another. It speaks of not abuse and aggressive behavior, but honest and genuine love and support and confrontation, and some sparks fly every once in a while. And often we've been through so much hurt in our life, when sparks start to fly, we split. We get out of there. Are you listening?
Yes.
This is good because I'm talking about that person next to you. One of the main mistakes that we make as Christians in our faith is that our feelings get hurt and we get offended and we get upset. So we leave church or we draw back, we reject our friends. And we forget the reality is that people bring us the greatest joy in life and people bring us our greatest hurts. You know, my wife, Holly, says, no one has ever loved me like Philip. I have never loved anyone like I've loved Philip. And I have to admit to you, no one's brought her more pain than me either. And if she was in here, I'm sure she'd say amen. So this is the only service I'm mentioning that. Because that kind of disruption is unnecessary, you know. Listen, if you attend the Oasis, you will get hurt. We don't put that in the brochure, but it's a fact because people come here. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to forget to show up when they promise. Somebody's going to say something they didn't mean or shouldn't have. And so you have a chance to think, do I want to run like I always do? Or do I want to grow in this relationship and work through the disappointment? Because healthy relationships grow through disappointments and disagreements. Good friendships are built on working through disagreements. Great marriages are working. You know, I heard this saying this week, and I sent that on a tweet, and it says, when you roll over and look at your spouse in bed and think, maybe I married the wrong person, that's the first day of your real marriage. Because then you get to work on having a real, genuine relationship and getting honest and real and loving each other. You're probably thinking, that's a negative way to look at marriage. My family experience as a young boy was painful to me. And one of the dynamics that I experienced is that when people would yell and fight, then relationships broke up. My mother and father would yell and scream and argue, and then they got divorced. You know, they tried to reconcile, and they argued and screamed some more, and they left. And so I had this feeling in my heart. And so even as a young boy, sometimes in friendships, you get argument or whatever, and friends would leave. And so deep in my heart, without even me realizing it, that's what happened. I mean, some families, heated arguments mean that's how much we love you. It's like, wow, you know, they voice it at dinner and then they're loving and hugging each other. That's not my experience. Anger and then abandonment. So imagine the feeling that came up to me in the first argument I had with Holly. Raising voices, intense heat. I'm thinking inside, okay, that's it. She's done. She's leaving. I don't want to be too honest. And it affects healthy relationships. Imagine what I was thinking on our 101st argument. What I was thinking then was, wow, at least I've had time to have this many conversations and disagreements because now I've got a great relationship. A lot of people don't put that time in. One time, I'll tell you, this is the honest truth. I was sitting in an audience when she's speaking about marriage. You know, we speak a lot on marriage. And so she's up there and she goes, one time in our marriage, I just was pouting and so mad that I didn't get my way. So I packed my bags. I was ready to leave. And I went to the front door and God spoke to me and told me, you know, what are you doing? And so I said to her later, I go, Holly, you got to quit exaggerating. You know, you always go over top when you're explaining stuff. You never went to the front door. She was like, oh, yes, I did. I'm like, thanks for letting me know in front of 500 people. You know? It was better I didn't know. I would have panicked. Sometimes, listen, you guys, to be honest, we get too emotional. We blow things out of proportion because it pushes buttons and makes us afraid. And so we got all intense and, you know, it's a simple disagreement, a misunderstanding. We're ready to reject Christianity and leave church and do this. Just yesterday, I'm at a basketball game of a young man that I spend a lot of time with, 9 years old. We're in the middle of the game. I'm getting so intense and so heated and I had to go, wait, you know what? This is not going to end world hunger. These guys are 9 years old, okay? So take a deep breath. Get your perspective. And I was okay, I'll just enjoy this. And so that's why I think sometimes we are at church. We just don't, it's like we get so heated and intense and make a big, you know, you just need to take a breath here and relax. The world's not over. Jesus is still alive. You just had a misunderstanding. Great relationships grow through disappointment and disagreement. We have connect groups that will help you. But listen, there we have one that Celebrate Recovery is a great place to go. If you have, you know, sometimes people get different ideas about what it's about. But one of the great things about Celebrate Recovery is that if you have some of these issues, people issues, like I just described, I went a similar path working on some, you know, like Celebrate Recovery to work on some of those things. Like, why do I get so panicky or why don't I want to tell the truth or trust? It's because when there's conflict, I think it's over. And so you get a chance to share in confidentiality. You get the chance to hear what other people are going through so you can find healing and freedom in your own life. Healthy relationships, number three, share each other's needs. A woman named Julie in our church was taken to intensive care and over 100 people from Oasis showed up at the ICU. They said they had never seen this many people show up at the hospital for one person, especially if it wasn't a celebrity. But here is a woman who was facing a tragedy in her life, and her church family, more than she realized, responded and came. A woman who was involved in serving and in a connect group and so forth. A young man in our church had an injury, stilo, and went through near-death experiences through this. And his church family rose up, supported, prayed for him, visited him at the hospital, visited him at home, provided financial needs and so forth, because that's what relationship is all about. A woman named Hope, who had to move from one home to another, was sort of left without much help in doing that. And then the word got out, and the day she was preparing to move, several men from Oasis showed up to help her pack things, move it, set it back up. And that wouldn't have been done if she wasn't connected in the house. Yeah. And throughout life, we moms are having babies and concerned, you know, about this symptom and that sign. And there are other women who've been through it who are there with them, encouraging them. That's not a big deal. You should pay attention to that. You know, we're facing parenting issues. What do I do? My kids acting this way. You got people in your life who have similar values and who similar perspectives that you can talk to. Look at what the Bible says. I looked up these several one another verses. In the New Testament, you see several one another, and I'll show you what I mean. We're just going to do them up here real quick. This one says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Then live in harmony with one another. The next one is stop passing judgment on one another. The next one is accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Instruct one another, another one says. The next one is greet one another with a holy kiss. How many of you like that? It's not creepy kiss, it's holy kiss. You know, don't be so uptight. Then encourage one another is the other one. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. There are things that we can and must do as followers of Jesus. The last thing, healthy relationships require understanding the relationship zones. Learning to recognize areas of entrance into your life is crucial. And what I mean by this is we read in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So what this is saying is that people who are learning God's ways and applying God's way, the way of the righteous, it causes you to choose your friends wisely. But the way of the wicked, meaning the way that most people would live their life without any interest in what God says or the Word says, we lead ourselves into difficult situations because we don't understand this. So we have to learn to recognize safe people to trust our life with and to build relationship with. And here's what I came up with. This is not a science. I made it up myself. It's the relationship zone. So imagine if you are standing here in like the center of a bullseye. And one circle around you is zone one. The next circle around you is zone two. And the next one is zone three. And if you don't like my example, you can make your own up in the car on the way home. But what I'm suggesting here is that people who would, let's just say zone one are those who would be closest to you, your most intimate connections. People should earn the right by how they live their life and how they treat you to have access to the next zone. So listen, we can love people 100% just like Jesus commanded us to love, regardless of what zone they're in, because Jesus did that. He had the 500 or the 70 or the 12 or the 3. And it depended on how they responded to him, how they treated him, what their vision was in life. And so the woman at the well who was possibly a prostitute but had many broken relationships and had shame in her life, he embraced her and loved her just like she was. That was the compelling thing about Jesus. But he didn't say, come on, teach a women's Bible study for me. He's like, I'm going to love you right where you are, and I'm going to encourage you to move on. And so sometimes our problem is that because we love people and we have compassion for people, we invite the zone three people in zone one, and that's where betrayal and heartbreak and deception comes. It's you trust people with too much of who you are when they haven't earned the right to be there. When you marry somebody, they are automatically in zone one. Don't you think that's a good idea? Yeah. Some of them belong in zone three. That's when you roll over and go, I know I married the wrong person. Because here's my point, is that we love people. We must love people. It's what happens in our heart when, but building healthy relationships is different. It's who is your confidant? Who is it that you trust and share your most intimate heart with? It's acquaintances out there on that third level. It's connections. There's some way that we connect through vision, through friendships, through something in our life. And then there's that inner circle. Those are the ones that speak to your soul and affect your heart. You know, Jesus told a parable once, and listen to what he said. Well done, good and faithful servant. You had two talents. Now I'm going to entrust you with more. Enter into the joy. So he responded by those who are good and faithful to give more access. You know, sometimes if we stay loyal too long to critical, bitter, angry people, then we think our love is going to win them. inevitably, we become a little critical, a little bitter, because that's what relationships are about. And so it tells us in Proverbs 22:24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, for you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. And so you can substitute anger for whatever, but that's a wisdom that Solomon gives us, that the Holy Spirit gives us, in just understanding and navigating. And like I said, there's no hard, fast rules, but it's a principle to understand. Guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says, for out of it flow the issues of life. Here's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm asking you to be intentional. Make an effort to build healthy friendships. Reach out. Risk it. Take that 20-second step of courage and go introduce yourself. I'm asking you to be wiser in your friendships, in your heart. Don't stay isolated. Don't stay closed off. Don't be open with no boundaries. I'm asking you to work on healing your own heart and soul. Allow God to bring healing. I think there's a place in our life that we have to open to God that only He can heal. Those hurts, those images, those things of the past that He can remove so that we can be loving, accepting, loving people. I pray that we would be able to love each other as if we've never been hurt before. And I wonder if that's what Jesus meant. I want you to love people like I loved you. And I want to ask you to join a connect group, to begin to put it to practice. Next week we'll be introducing these, and there'll probably be 1,600 to 1,800 people getting in these groups all over. You could be a part of it. You could be a part of finding strength in your life, but you could also be a part of being a blessing to somebody. Sometimes in a group, you come there and you realize, you know, it's not really all about me. It's something that I can bring and offer to these people to be a strength and a support and to be a listening ear. I'm going to pray for you and pray for me as we close this and ask God to help us in this house to have healthy relationships that honor God. Father, I thank you for each person that's come here today. And thank you for showing us in your word the importance of people, the importance of relationship. Help us, Lord God, to be able to love like we've never been hurt before. Help us to be able to love like you loved. Help us to forgive. Yeah, right now in this moment, while we're praying, just read a scripture today that said, while you stand praying, forgive others who have wronged you. Maybe in this moment of prayer right now, you need to write a pardon, just as if you were the governor of your soul. I'm going to write a pardon for that person, and they're free to go. I release them from that hurt that they gave me. I'm releasing them from that betrayal, that abuse. By the grace of God, I'm letting it go. The Bible tells us to forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us. We release them. Now, Lord, we ask you to heal our hearts, heal our soul. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to be the best friend that some people have ever had. And I ask you to bring people into our life that would be the best friends we've ever had. Help us to meet people down the road that could end up still being the best friends we've ever had. Keep our heart open. The Bible tells us that no greater love is there than this, that somebody would lay down their life for their friend. And Jesus did that. He was the example. I wonder if there are people here in this room today that have never trusted Jesus with the love that he has come to give you. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Bible says. It gives us a picture of Jesus. Jesus has come because he loves you, just like you are. Jesus is here to love you, to be in the center of your life. Some people, because of hurts in their life, they've followed Jesus at one time but have begun to draw back. Others, maybe you've never really even opened your heart to Jesus. But today, you could do that. For the first time in your life, you could receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. This is such an important moment. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Maybe you feel that desire, that hunger. That's why it's so important that people not move around in this moment here, unless it's absolutely necessary. Because people are making life decisions. If you would like to put your faith in Jesus in this moment, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer in your heart, silently, right where you are. I'm going to pray this prayer. You agree with it. You put your faith with it. This is a heart-changing, life-altering prayer where you will receive God's best, Jesus, the greatest friend that you'll ever have as your Lord and your Savior. Pray this in your heart. Say, Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God, and I believe he came to die for me, to lay his life down. I can't imagine any love greater than that. And today, I'm opening my heart to Jesus. I believe in my heart, and I'm saying, I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. So forgive me, Lord, for sins and failures and transgressions. I'm going to turn from my way of living and follow you. Fill me with your love, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit, because I'm going to live for you from now on. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I hope that you prayed that prayer. I hope you agreed with me in your heart.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church Podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.